Amen and amen. Will you pray for my voice today that it holds out? I've got 2 hours here and probably an hour at church tonight. And I've been drinking Carl's elixir and, drinking Carl's great elixir there with ginger and with I added cayenne, lots of strong cayenne from a lady that sells cayenne down in, at her home, her and her husband. They have a business that's called Uniquity or something like that. It almost sounded like Iniquity when I first, my dad would probably call it Iniquity. That's probably what he would. Hopefully it's coming in okay. Tell me if you can hear me okay. Anyway, after I preached in the open air on Saturday night, I preached a long time, probably longer than I realized. And then I looked and wow, yeah, my throat was really burning. And then Sunday came around and I preached, obviously, 2 or 3 times on Sunday. And then broadcast on Monday. And boy, Monday, wow, did my throat hurt. I woke up and it was really burning. So you pray that that all holds out good and all that good stuff, but that the Lord would keep that. I've been drinking. I drank 2 cups of that strong ginger and garlic. I put some garlic in there, some ginger, and some very potent and strong cayenne. So we are definitely got enough stuff in me right now for that, but and I could feel it burning through my ears after I drank that drink. I could feel it just burning like straight through my ears, which is crazy. But anyway, we are going to talk about some things today. So you pray for me that my voice doesn't get too awful sore during this time. But if it does, it does. And yeah, well, anyway, I say that cayenne will put hair on your chest. If you're a guy anyway, but, it'll definitely put hair on your chest. That's for sure, man. That stuff is strong. And then you put the ginger with it and oh my goodness, it's pretty strong. So, anyway, just real irritated my throat for some reason. And, but I'm back on keto and I've been doing intermittent fasting. I did intermittent fasting for about 21 hours on Monday from Sunday night till Monday night. And then I did intermittent fasting on Tuesday, same time. And then today I did 18 hours of fasting, and then I ate a protein bar. So that was good. And I enjoy intermittent fasting with keto. It does help a lot. And my mind has been clear since no sugar and you know, all that junk is out of my system, you know, getting out of my system, I should say, but I'm done eating that junk for a long time now. And it really does help quite a bit. I know my throat is going to be very sore after this, but that's okay. So if I'll try to use the microphone and not speak too awful loud, which I don't have to with in this setting, nor do I really tonight. But boy, when you're a preacher, it's really hard not to do that. You know, you really have a tough time doing that. You know, this is a, this over here is a, you know, this right here, I was gargling it, putting it on your hand. Said it reminds, oh yeah, yeah, it probably did, yeah. Anyway, so, this was a video I did, this PowerPoint presentation, which, by the way, I'm not doing this whole presentation today or anything like that. Gregory asked me, aren't you glad the Trump judge has outlawed abortion for good? Well, Gregory 1611, that's not a correct statement. I am glad that federally Roe versus Wade was overturned. However, that does not outlaw abortion everywhere. It leaves it up to the states to decide. So you must be clear about what you say. Otherwise, you will look very foolish. And So we have to be clear about that. That's not what happened. But yes, I am glad he did that. Of course I am. Why wouldn't I be? I'd be glad when Obama does something right. I'd be glad if Biden does something right. I'll be glad if you do something right. We should, shouldn't we? So we can definitely rejoice in those things. Why, you know, we absolutely should. So let's see here. We are going to talk about a number of things today. I'm going to show you some things first. Before we get to that, let's see, let's go back here. You pray for us, if you would, please, for all of our needs and necessities and things like that. I've got to put down quite a bit of money here this month for fuel. Propane, you have to order your propane in advance. So while I don't have to use a ton for the studio, it's not going to be terrible, Lord willing, but I still have to purchase it all together for the house and that. And my dad does some of that, but I have to do some of that as well. So I'm going to do a little bit more because of the gallons that we're going to use in here for that. So just pray for that, that the Lord would provide that. Everything else is pretty much paid for with the studio, with the lights. And we have a few flooring needs that we're still continuing to finish up on. After that, we pretty much have everything. So what a blessing that's the case. So, but today we're going to talk about, so you pray for us about that. And if the Lord leads you to give something towards that, that would be appreciated. Or just whatever type of giving you'd like to give to our ministry. Now, I'm not trying to take anything away from your local New Testament church. If you all have a local New Testament church that you go to and you give money to and everything like that, well, praise the Lord. I'm not trying to take any money from anybody else like that. But if you don't, and you don't have a church that you normally give to, and you don't have a local New Testament church where you're at, then feel free, by the grace of God, to send us something to OPBC for the needs here. If you're fed here, you know, spiritually, then that would be a blessing. And if you have nothing at all, pray for us. You definitely have that. You have the prayers. And if you never gave a dollar to this ministry, we would still thank God for you being out there and listening, and that we can be a blessing to you. I had a call from a man in New York today, and it was a good conversation. He calls me about, I don't know, every year or so just to say hi. He has called me a couple times, I think like two or three times. And he called me about a year and a half ago or something like that, and just gave me a phone call today, and just wanted to be a blessing and encourage me, and I appreciate that, and wanted to send something our way to be a blessing, because this ministry has been a blessing to him. And another gentleman called me and said that they were, they texted me and said they were blessed by the ministry. So, Gregory 16:11, I just want to go on record to say that you said forget next 2 years, arrest Biden for child trafficking and reinstate Trump. I think it's documented that Trump was on Epstein's plane twice, at least twice, and took his 12-year-old son on Epstein's plane. That's all I'm going to say about that, but I don't want to get into that. But for some reason, you feel like spamming me with Trump stuff. I don't know what the deal is or why you feel that's necessary. This broadcast isn't about Trump today. But if you'd like me to do another one on Trump, hey, I'm all for it. I have no problem doing broadcasts on Trump. I just really don't want to focus on something like that on this one. Anyway, but we'll keep going here and all that good stuff. But so pray about those things, and thank you so much for being out there listening. I hope it's a blessing to you. Now, let's see here. I'm going to see. Let's exit out of there for a second. And we are going to go here. Why do they want to make society androgynous? Is that the end goal? Yes, it is, Nemo Strange. It is the end goal. And by taking women and doing what they're doing as women, which is what I'm going to get to, that's the purpose, is to make everyone androgynous. That's Satan's plan. It's been the plan from the beginning. And we'll look at that here in a little while. Let me... second. There it is. Let me get my Bible out here. This Bible, right? So then I can go here, and then I can go here. Perfect. And I can check on this to make sure that everything's working good. There, it looks fine anyway. I think you can hear me okay. There. All right. See, nothing there I need to worry about or be concerned with. Okay. So... that's what I'm looking for, right there. I wanna start out showing you some of these videos here and talking about different exchanges and things that have taken place in the last couple weeks here. Let's see if I can find this one. This one is interesting, but we'll wait on that one.
I'm a scientist, and, you know, when they ask somebody to define a woman, and that person answers, they can't. That just blows me away, right? I mean, it is common knowledge.
We'll listen to that one in a second, okay? Let's see. That one. Maybe this one. Let's see. That's... there. Health organization. Let's see. Hang on a second. Let's see. See if I can find.
Realtor.com made a...
that's not what I'm looking for. I can't wait till I get some right internet filters installed here and all that good stuff, because it annoys me. Like you wouldn't believe. Let's see here. Give me 1 second. I have this video, and for some reason, it's not here. So, try to find it. Yep. Give me a second here. And I will get it for you.
Democrats and Democrat leaders, it's not only not a fact, it is religion to them.
Give me a second here. I want to show you this video. And for some reason, it has to not work for me right now, just to frustrate me. I just want the record, I just want to go on record to say that this is the reason why I use a Mac. Because I hate Windows. But anyway. I absolutely hate Windows. But that's okay. Fortunately, there's some things that you can do a lot easier with Windows. But apparently not this. I will find it. Just hang on a second. This is it. Here we go.
You've used a phrase. I want to make sure I understand what you mean by it. You referred to people with...
Let me back it up. Here we go.
I just want to clear one thing up. Professor Bridges, you said several times, you've used a phrase. I want to make sure I understand what you mean by it. You've referred to people with a capacity for pregnancy. Would that be women?
Many women, cis women, have the capacity for pregnancy. Many cis women do not have the capacity for pregnancy. There are also trans men who are capable of pregnancy, as well as non-binary people who are capable of pregnancy.
So this isn't really a women's rights issue. It's a.
We can recognize that this impacts women while also recognizing that it impacts other groups. Those things are not mutually exclusive, Senator Hawley.
Oh, so your view is that the core of this right then is about what?
So I want to recognize that your line of questioning is transphobic.
I want to recognize that your line of questioning is transphobic, and it's really degrading and transphobic.
This lady is so fake, it's sick. Everything that she is saying is just so utterly insane. It is literally insanity. And then people want you to jump on board the insanity. That's what they want. They want you to jump on board this, right? Well, so Satan, by the way, which I'm going to get to, is using women to destroy the role of a woman. All right? To destroy... and to take over the role of women using transgenders and using women to propagate it. Now, I took some notes here, some things that are interesting that I'm going to get to here when I get to the scriptural teaching here. Okay, and Gregory 16:11, if you've come on here to argue, I'm just going to take you off of here. Because I don't want to hear about, like... Bill Gates, and I don't want to hear about, we're talking about something specific here today. Try to keep with the train of thought. If you want to go start a channel, and you want to broadcast to people, and you want to talk about what you want to talk about, feel free. I do open line things, and open question forums like I did on Monday. You should have been on that one if you wanted to do that, and I would have talked to you about those things. But this... is a very specific teaching. And I really don't want it interrupted by squirrels looking for nuts in strange places.
And it opens up trans people to violence by not recognizing them.
Wow, you're saying that I'm opening up people to violence by asking whether or not women are the folks who can have pregnancies?
So I want to note that 1 out of 5 transgender persons have attempted suicide.
Okay, so like it's your fault that anybody ever commits suicide in their life because you believe that there's male and female. Like, what's the matter with you? Well, I don't know. Maybe I've had 7 children, so I know what it is. I've also looked down my pants, so I know what anatomy I have and what God gave me. I know what my child is because when they come out, I know what they came out with, what equipment they came out with, right? So, I mean, I don't think that's very hard to understand. That's really simple. And for you to use, I'm going to play this video again because it is that stupid. And some of us don't work that, some of us haven't snorted that many devils inside of us that we're not that confused with life. And we haven't been programmed by a bunch of rabid perverts. Right? Okay. Let's back up. Let's listen to this again.
I just want to clear one thing up. Professor Bridges, you said several times, you've used a phrase, I want to make sure I understand what you mean by it. You've referred to people with a capacity for pregnancy. Would that be women?
Many women, cis women, have the capacity for pregnancy. Many cis women do not have the capacity for pregnancy. There are also trans men who are capable of pregnancy, as well as non-binary people who are capable of pregnancy.
So this isn't really a women's rights issue. We can recognize that
this impacts women while also recognizing that it impacts other groups. Those things are not mutually exclusive, Senator Hawley.
So your view is that the core of this right then is about what?
So I want to recognize that your line of questioning is transphobic, and it opens up trans people to violence by not...
That your line of questioning is transphobic? So you're not allowed to question the narrative? You're not allowed to question anything? You're not allowed to do that at all? You just believe everything we tell you? And if you don't, then you should be killed. And by the way, we want to kill babies too. So this is all about killing babies, and that's really what we want to do.
Not recognizing that.
Wow, you're saying that I'm opening up people to violence by asking whether or not women are the folks who can have...
By the way, let's go on record to remember here that the woman sitting in the chair is the one that wants to create violence against babies. Can we all remember that? This is how real witchcraft works. That's a little witch sitting in that chair. And that little witch wants to kill babies. Do you understand that? That's what that little witch wants to do. So let's be clear. If you just tuned in and you're appalled by what I said, you've probably never listened to me before. Because I don't back off too easy when it comes to blatant devils and devil-possessed people and witches that really do want to murder babies, but then accuse you of promoting violence on people because you're not insane.
Pregnancies?
So I want to note that 1 out of 5 transgender persons have attempted suicide. So I think it's important
because of my line of questioning.
Because
we can't talk about it.
Because denying that trans people exist and pretending not to know that they exist.
I'm denying that trans people exist by asking
you
if you're talking about women having pregnancies.
Do you believe that men can get pregnant?
No, I don't think women can get
pregnant. So you are denying that trans people exist.
And that leads to violence. Is this how you run your classroom? Are students allowed to question you,
or
are they?
So I want you to note that this is what's being taught to children in public education. You heard it. This is a professor in public education. And this professor is literally teaching that men can have babies. Right? That's what she's teaching. And if you question that, well, you're just evil and you want people to die. Wait, no. Your whole line of questioning is there because you want to provide child murder for cis people, whatever that is.
Also treated like this, where
they're
told that they're opening up people to violence.
We have a good time in my class. You should join.
I bet.
You might learn a lot.
Wow, I would learn a lot. I've learned a lot
in
this exchange.
Absolutely.
Extraordinary.
Yep.
Ms. Maskey, let me ask you.
I think it's absolutely hilarious what he said to her. And I appreciate the fact that he said it to her, to be honest with you. Because this lady is an absolute fool. And she's a tool of Satan. That's exactly what she is. And make no mistake about it. She is a tool of Satan. There is an end game for all this. Let's see. I thought this was pretty good. This is from Answers in Genesis.
I'm a scientist, and, you know, when they ask somebody to define a woman and that person answers they can't, that just blows me away, right? I mean, it is common knowledge how you define a woman. At least from a genetic standpoint, we can define that. You've got 2 X chromosomes. Guys don't.
Hey, wait a minute. Just recently, there was someone interviewed for a Supreme Court position, I think, couldn't define what a woman is. And then a lot of the politicians jumped on board and said how, you know, you can't define what a woman is. Suddenly, when Roe versus Wade gets overturned, we hear all these liberal politicians talking about women.
And even Kamala Harris.
People know what a woman Kamala Harris say, I'm a woman, my mother was a woman, her mother was a woman. She was on TV saying that recently, and yet just a few weeks ago, she couldn't define what a woman was.
That's what amazed me, honestly, with the whole Roe v. Wade thing.
Inconsistencies,
I'm a scientist, and you know.
Yeah, so they're pretty much, you know, these people, right, are insane. Right? These people are insane, and we that bring the Bible to them, and science, like they've screamed about for years, we're the ones that are causing people to die. Because you're going to teach your children. You're going to teach your children. Right? What a man and a woman is. You're going to teach them. By the way, one of the number one things that I love preaching when I get out there, I look at the people that I preach to. I look at them and I say one thing to them. All of you are here today as a result of a man and a woman coming together to have a child. Right? All of you. And boy, I'll tell you what. When you say that to them, right, they don't know what to say. They get angry. They start yelling. They start getting mad. But there's an end goal to this. They are destroying the sexes. They're destroying the beauty of the two roles. That is what Satan has always wanted to do. Always. Let's see. What's that? Oops, that's the one that I just played. Not that one. I thought this was interesting, too. The world's supposed leading health organization can't distinguish the two genders, male and female, in humans. They are anti-science, anti-scripture, right? The World Health Organization now says gender exists on a continuum and is beyond. Gender is not limited to male or female and will update its gender guidance accordingly. So we have definitely entered into Insaneville, right? We have definitely entered into Insanityville, right? And the goal is to destroy this very thing, male and female. That's the goal. That's the goal. We know what the scriptures teach and what God says about male and female. Now, I wrote down a few things here. Just jotted down some notes here on some things in my handy dandy notebook here. And let's see here. Obviously, the one thing we do know about male and female is it's seven times in the Bible. We talked about that before. That's that spiritual completeness, right? The seventh time male and female is used, it deals with the creation. God made them perfect and complete. What was Satan's goal in the garden? Jesus said from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. That was how God made them, right? That was his purpose. Satan did some things with this attack. And I want to talk to you about some of those things today. I want you to consider some things, and then we'll get into some more scripture and things as we look at the scriptures here. But I want you to consider some things here, because I thought about this as I meditated on this morning a little bit. And consider this. Number one. Satan's first attack on man was through the woman. He used woman to go after man. He used woman to attack man. So then we have to understand, as the scriptures tell us, right? When we look at the Bible, what does the Bible tell us? That Adam was not deceived, but Eve was deceived. Being in the transgressor, Eve was deceived. He went after Eve. And that's why the Bible's very clear about what's to be done about that, right? As far as dealing with those things and how we're supposed to be very careful with all those things when it comes to male and female, right? That we're to be very careful. Now, God made them in the beginning. He created them male and female. By the way, I preached this originally back in 2018. I think it's interesting how, as time goes on, it's even more relevant. Now, don't misunderstand me. This isn't going to be the same as this PowerPoint that I did years ago. I'm just going to be showing you a few different things. The second thing I want you to consider, the first thing is that he used the woman to attack the man. The second thing I want you to consider is he used the woman to manipulate the man. Let's look at this. Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He used it in the form of a question. He got the woman's mind to think. Now, as he was using the woman to attack the man, he was also manipulating the woman. He was deceiving her. He was playing games with her. Right? So, in other words, basically he was tripping her up. He was causing this woman, Eve, Satan was causing her to question God. To question God's love for her. To question God's order, God's care, God's interest in her life. Have you ever had Satan try to get you to question God's interest in your life? I'm sure you have. You ought to consider that that's one of the number one attacks from Satan, is to get you to question God's care for you. Okay? Think about that. Now, so he used the woman to attack the man. By the way, he attacks the woman first. That's another thing that you have to understand. If ever in your home, it is important with your children, your wife, it is important in your marriage and in your home as a man that you protect your wife, that you guard her heart as much as you can, and that you instruct her and teach her. Why? Because Satan is going to try to unsettle her. Satan is going to try to confuse her. He is going to try to unsettle her, to shake her up. Women, I find that when men are not careful as Christians, they destabilize the home. Or if their wife is in a place that is not stabilized, she's not stable. She doesn't feel safe. She doesn't feel grounded where she's at or firm, and she's shaken all over the place. Spiritually, you need to fix that by instructing, teaching, guiding, praying, answering those hard questions that she might have. But secondly, you need to make sure that you're providing a stable environment for your wife, because women need that. That's necessary. It's important. Satan will use the instability in a home. He will use the instability in the marriage. He will use those things to hurt the woman and to get to the man. As a pastor, one of the main battles that I have in that sense is to protect my wife and my family. Right? Even from well-meaning church members, male or female. It doesn't matter what it is. Right? So I have to be careful about that. I have to guard my family. I have to guard my children. I have to guard them. I have to stay vigilant. Okay, because Satan uses that. He will use that as a way to get in. Now, back to what we're talking about here. He used the woman to manipulate the man, right? I think it's interesting to note that she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So she eats the fruit, right? Then he is given the fruit. She gives it to him, right? And gave also unto her husband. Showing the proper role of that helpmeet, right? Is to prepare food for the husband. You know, prepare food for the family. That's naturally how she was made. That's the place that God has for her. Amen? By the way, if anything I just said to you causes you to think ill, you might be a feminist. If that causes you to say, well, is that all I'm good for? Well, I didn't know that the entirety of the usefulness of a woman was tied up into one thing that I said. There's entire scriptural teaching on it. Right? That's a good point Terry made. Was thinking about this earlier, how people accuse Pastor Cooley of hating women and being demeaning of women. He's actually teaching what the Bible gives us to protect women. Absolutely. Void X, that is not true. Because he made Eve to be a helpmeet for him. And then Paul instructs us that God made Adam first and then Eve. That's the way that God designed it on purpose. It has nothing to do with the fall. She was always to be submitted to her husband. The difference in the fall afterwards in Genesis chapter 3, the difference is she would be submissive to a sinner, a fallen man. That's the difference. That's the difference. God always made Eve for Adam. The woman was made for the man. That's what the Apostle Paul says from the beginning. Didn't change. They were not equal beings in that sense. The woman was taken from man for a reason, for a purpose. Never was that way. Anyway, the difference is that she would have to be submitted to a sinner. That's the difference. Anyway, He used the woman to manipulate the man. That's what Satan did. That was his attack. Okay? That's what he did. He used the woman to tempt the man. Right? That's the next thing Satan did. He used the woman to tempt the man. But Adam knew full well what he was doing. He wasn't deceived. He knew that what he was doing was wrong. Absolutely. Wrong. He tempted the woman to make decisions for herself. That's what he tempted her to do. By the way, I'm going somewhere with this, okay? I'm going somewhere with this. This is still part of this whole transgender teaching that I'm talking about here, the transgender takeover of women. I'm going somewhere with this. It's the same attack. It hasn't changed. The new attack that we just saw, same attack. Or what we just talked about, same thing. He tempted the woman to make decisions for herself outside of God. Outside of her God-given head. Because the Bible says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Right? We see here that the woman decided that she would be the best decision maker for what her and her husband did. That's what happened here. And it led to trouble. It led to trouble. It wasn't God's plan. The next thing that we see that Satan did in his attack and his temptation of Eve was to distort the order of the sexes. And what do we have now today? We have an absolute distortion of the order of the sexes, don't we? My. It used to be that if women were like this, a caretaker at home, or, you know, these are prairie women, right? That the man was the warrior, right? That he went out and he faced down the lions, he faced down the bear, he faced down all those things. That the women, they tended to the home, right? And took care of the family, guided the home like the scriptures tell us. Well, Satan's original attack was to distort the roles. It was part of it. Right? Men were warriors. They went out and faced the giants, right? There was no woman that was ever to go out and face the giants like that, right? To go out there and fight those giants in that capacity. It wasn't the way God intended it to be. Men were to be defenders, right? They are the defenders of the weak. That's what God meant them to be. That's what role they had. Right? It's just like I was speaking to my brother-in-law who's in the military, and he said that those women cannot meet the qualifications of those male soldiers. Well, I don't think they should be there. I don't think any women should be there. I can make a lot of people mad saying that. Because let me be real with you. If you think for one second, no matter if the United States federal government told me you have to send your daughters off to war, you have to enlist them, or they have to enlist, Over my dead body. Over my dead body will you turn my daughter into some lobotomized, unisex, manly creature. And I mean that. I absolutely mean it. But see, one of Satan's attacks was to do that, right? Was to take over. Was to distort the sexes. Men were those warriors that went out, right? They go out and they fight and they collect, you know, they kill animals and they kill, rise, kill and eat, right? That's what they do. Bring it home to mama and mama cooks it, right? That's what they are. That's what men are. Men are still, by the way, supposed to be that. They're still supposed to be that. By the way, like, I haven't lost every bit of testosterone and manhood that I have that I'm going to give into this culture. I'll be honest with you. To hell with this culture and its teachings. And I mean that. With everything in me. I mean that. It's either the Bible or bust. Carl Winters said, when you talk like that, people tell you that you're a caveman. Yeah, I know. Why do you think so many women and men get angry with me? Why do you think so many women have gotten angry with me? Why do you think so many have lied about me and said all kinds of manner of evil against me falsely? Because of this. See, God didn't make men to be that. God didn't make them to be that. Right? He didn't make them to be that way. Right? But that was the goal of Satan, right? To turn man into some hybrid, or women into some hybridized creature. Right? To turn them into some hybridized creature. Because that's what Satan's goal was. That's what he did in the beginning, and his attack has never changed. He tempted the woman to make decisions for herself. He distorted the order of the sexes. By doing that, woman lost her distinction. Do you know what has happened today? Woman has lost her distinction. She has lost the crown jewel of her glory. She's lost it. She's lost the crown jewel. What shines the most? The way God made her. She's lost it. She was tricked. She was tricked into giving up. She was tricked into an identifying with a man. She was tricked into making herself equal with man. It was one of the greatest tricks that Satan ever pulled. Was to make her identify with a man. So they could be together. The same thing. Right? That's why. To make them equal. Right? So they would be the same. To destroy their distinction. That's what Satan wanted to do. That's what he wants to do now. To destroy their distinction. Woman is tempted today to destroy her own distinction, the way that God made her. Right? That's what they want to do. That's what's happening now. That's the rise. That's the popularity of that movement. Because it will be that Antichrist movement. It is that Antichrist transgender movement. That movement to destroy the distinctions. Mm-hmm. It's the spirit of Antichrist. It's that Baphomet spirit, right? That hybrid spirit, that Antichrist spirit, that merging of the sexes. Here's what happened. Satan first got them to compete with each other. That was the first thing. If we can get women and men to compete with each other and not recognize the beauty of the distinction of the sexes and the beauty and the proper place of a man and the proper place of a woman, then they would compete one with another. And when they would compete one with another, soon there would be no distinction at all between them. I submit to you that in God's eyes, women were always to be covered and protected by men. They were never to be in a place of competition. You want to make a man angry. Naturally, it's built in him. Right? And one of the things it is, if he's in competition with a woman, if he feels as if he is in competition with a woman, it will make him angry. And why is that? Because God never meant them to compete with one another. God never meant them to do that. He never made them to do that. Ever. He made them to be unique. Distinct. You don't even understand, some of you out there that'll listen to this, that will be angry with me. You do not even understand the value and the beauty of a woman in the place that God has put her to be. Like some of you cannot even understand that'll hear this. You cannot even understand the value. And when people look at me and they say things to me and they get angry with me and they say, "Oh, you just want to demean women." Really? I think they're most beautiful when they're in the place that God has put them. And I do everything I can I do everything I can to protect them. Absolutely. To the point that I have had Christian men, professing Christian men, threaten me, lie about me, slander me, make videos about me, falsely accuse me, and the list goes on and on and on. And why? Because I believe what God said in His Word. That's why. And I don't believe women should be put in the places that they're put in today. And in the place, and to be subjected to another man, and to be submissive to another man. Right? Because I do believe that, I do believe that women are to be protected. I do believe that they are to be, and by the way, I've suffered for believing that, and I'm not kidding you. Not in my own life. I thank God for my wife. I thank God for my children. My daughters. I'm just talking about as a pastor and in dealing with this subject. But I will not stop banging this drum until I'm dead. By God's grace, I will not. Because it is that necessary. So the woman was tempted to lose, to compete with the man, which is what we have now in society. We have women that compete. It's that hybridization. It's that Antichrist spirit, right? That's what it is. To compete with the man. And then what happened because of it? Men no longer view women as a protected class. Men view them as completely equal in their competition. They view them as their competition. That's how they view them. That was Satan's plan. Get them to compete with each other. Make them compete together against each other. Okay, so Void X says, you understand our place as men and women, but you don't actually understand everything about women. Women are naturally healing toward other women. For example, women should minister to women. Well, Void X, let me answer that. And Mrs. Bicey, who is a lady in our church, who is an elder woman in our church, that doesn't mean she's old. She's just elder in the faith, and she's been saved for a very long time. She does minister to other women in our church. And the older women do teach the younger women in our church. And they do minister to their needs. And I could give you probably five women right now that could testify to the fact in our church that that's exactly how things are done. That's exactly how that they minister to other ladies' needs. Many women could testify of that at Old Paths Baptist Church. So you're wrong. I do recognize the place of older women teaching younger women. In fact, I usually have the older women keep other women away from me. Yeah. So they're not close to me. My wife being one of those older women in the faith that has been saved for 20 some years. She ministers to other women. Mrs. Bicey ministers to other women. Other women in our assembly minister to other women. That's absolutely how it's done. Because I really don't want to have deep conversations of the female kind with women. I really don't like that. I'll be honest with you. I really am not comfortable with it at all. So that is the way it goes. So I think you misunderstand me. Because that's not the way it is. At all, period. So anyway, but by the way, I was going to get to Titus 2 today. So if you just hung on, you would have seen that. But that's okay. You know I love you anyway, and I'm not mad at you. I appreciate you being here. Anyway, all right. We'll keep going. Basically, after the competition came in, then what happened? Well, then there was a neglect from the woman. Then there's been a neglect from the woman of the proper role that God gave her. And that was what Satan's purpose was. God made man to rule. God made woman to follow. When that order is perverted, chaos comes. And we absolutely live in societal chaos. Why? We have competition. Right? Look what the scriptures say. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. See, the woman, when she's not doing what God has called her to do, she loses the beauty. She loses the beauty. That crown jewel of beauty that God made her for. That's what the transgender movement's about. First, get them to compete with each other, then erase all distinctions. So then nobody's doing what God said. Men aren't leading. Women aren't following. Men aren't loving their wives. Women are not submitting to their husbands. Children are not being taken care of properly. Confusion comes. Unisex philosophy comes. Right? To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. See that right there, that picture right there, to me is absolutely beautiful. Not to mention, I absolutely do like those dresses, by the way. Those prairie type, long dresses like that. I like those. I think they look great on women. I still think they're nice. I still think they're appropriate. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. See that? That's what they've turned into. That's what they were. That's what godly women desire to be. That's how Satan wants them to be. Right? I think it's interesting in the business world and everything else. Sobbing women are known to have made men change hardline positions or pacify their women. Ask yourself, where could this play out? How could this play out very badly in leadership issues, issues of security, dangerous circumstances, women being led by their emotions and men following? By the way, let me say this, that I understand that there are women that do not have a husband to take care of them or a father to take care of them. They are not widows indeed, and they have to work, they have to provide, they have to take care of themselves, right? I understand. God does too, and God is ever loving to people in those positions. I like what this man said, though. Woman's presence makes men go dumb. Men, actually, this was a woman that wrote this, I believe. Men literally become dumb after they interact with women they find attractive. In a study, men scored less on cognitive tests after meeting women. In a version of the test, the men weren't even looking at the females. They were just told that females are going to be looking at them. Right? Men become more selfless around women. Men get more selfless and too kind when they are around women. Studies also found out that the more attractive the surrounding ladies, the kinder and more selfless men become. In essence, they lose their manhood and become soft fools. Right? That's true, Void X. I agree with that statement you made there. Fully covered, that's right. By the way, it does remind me, this is what I said years ago, it reminds you of a buck in the rut. They act like a bunch of fools, they run around like a lamb to the slaughter, they don't think straight about enemies that are around. They desire, the desire for the female is masculine, but to lose all sense of understanding and follow base emotions is feminine. Men don't think clearly working around women. It's true. It's very true. Anyway. Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Women do affect men. Hey, let's face it. If you're a heterosexual man, women affect you. They just do. If you have natural affection. The woman was tempted to leave the place that God had for her, where she shines the most in the home, guiding the home. By the way, that's why the Apostle Paul, this is why he said this. But speak now the things which become sound doctrine. Well, here's the sound doctrine. That the aged men may be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors, becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women, the young women, to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. See, the Apostle Paul preached on this because it was a problem. What was the problem? Satan will tempt women to use the liberty in Christ that they have, because Christian marriage, by the way, gave women liberty. Paul knew that to the Gentile world when he preached this. He knew that Christian women would have liberty through Christian marriage. There's much liberty in Christian marriage, as opposed to the world, as opposed to Islam, as opposed to how women are treated all over the world. But they were not to use their liberty. Satan would tempt women to use their liberty for lasciviousness, not to obey their husbands, because their husbands are commanded to love them. good, obedient to their own husbands, if the word of God be not blasphemed. See, God made a woman to raise children. That's what he made her for. To love her husband, to love her children. By the way, that's the order. To love their husbands, to love their children. But look at the attitude she's supposed to do it in. To be sober. That they may teach the young women to be sober. So young women are taught to be sober-minded. As opposed to being silly women laden with sins. But they're to do it with a sober spirit, right? A very serious, sober spirit. Okay? To love their husbands. To love their children. That's the order. First, husbands. Second, children. The manner in which they're to do it is to be discreet. They're to be discreet. See, Paul knew that the word of God would be blasphemed if servants didn't obey their masters, if children didn't obey their parents, if husbands didn't love their wives, and if women were not keepers at home, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Paul knew the attack that would come. Right? Paul knew the attack that would come. And that's exactly what happened. That's what we see now. He talked them out of not raising and bearing children, not guiding the home. That's what a woman does. She guides the home. And by the way, nobody can do it like a woman. I've talked to men before that they send their wives to work. And they stay home and try to play the mom. You say, well, my wife can make more money than me. So what? What does that have to do with obeying the Lord? Why would you stay home and be a mother when you can't be a mother? God didn't design you to stay home and guide the home. By the way, that's why when you see men that are in those positions like that, they don't do well. When fathers stay home for long periods of time with their children and they like get stressed out, some people say, well, you should have enough patience. Well, it's true. I mean, you need to learn to have patience and love your children and be a part of their lives. But guess what? God never designed a father to do that. He never designed a father to take care of the children for long periods of time like that. Yeah, we do what we can do and what we need to do. God never made him to be a mother. I've seen scores of men that they do that with their five or six children. Like I have seven children. They do that for a while with their seven, five, six, four, five, three, whatever children they have. And then they're like, ah. And they look over at the wife and say, what's wrong with them? And she'll say, nothing. This is just a normal day. But she's not going nuts. Why not? Because God made her to do that. God didn't make you to do that. God didn't make you to sit around and pamper and change diapers all day and to do those things. God never. And by the way, if there's some feminist that's mad at me right now, go ahead. Get as mad as you want to. Shout or pout. I get paid the same. I don't care. That's just the truth. God didn't make a man to stay home all day and to do that. God didn't make a man to try to be Mr. Mom. He didn't make that. That's been made up in somebody's mind. It's normal that a man doesn't do those things. It's normal for long periods of time that a man doesn't do that. That's not what God designed him to do. So, of course, he's not going to do very well at it. Because he wasn't made to do it. But when you expect a man to do it, you're expecting something that's not even biblical. Your expectation is not biblical. Right? You say, oh, you just don't want to help your wife. No, I just understand what God made me for. And what he made her for. And I'm not interested in changing that. And you shouldn't be either. Amen. But that's part of this transgender society, is to make me think, oh, there must be something wrong with you because, you know, you don't want to do this or you don't want to do that. Well, God never made me to do that, lady. And by the way, if you think any of that means that I don't help with my children, then you don't understand anything that I'm saying. Because I don't watch my children. I father my children. You understand that? Like, I don't, oh, are you babysitting today? No, I'm not babysitting. They're my children. I'm spending time as a father with them. I'm taking them to do things with them. I'm a father to them. I father them. God made me to do that. But God didn't make me to stay home all day with, you know what? It's funny because there's been some times that I've been at home. There's some times that I've been at home trying to study and work and everything. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is not going to work. And then I have to remember. And then my wife says, oh, well, you kids keep it down or whatever. And they're very gracious with that and all that stuff. But you know what the truth is? No, I don't need to be there. I need to go somewhere else. Why? Because they're just being children in their own home doing what they always do. And just because I need to go away and get the stuff done that I need to get done. That's all normal. I don't mean to be unruly and disrespectful or anything like that. But what I'm talking about is, that's all normal. That's the way it's supposed to be. Society is trying to teach us something different. That satanic influence that you should do the same thing as your wife does and your wife should do the same thing that you do. That's not true. And if you think that, then you've been influenced by the world. Because it isn't true. That isn't the way it's supposed to be. Nowhere in the Bible do you see that. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I couldn't do it anyway. I couldn't do it anyway. But that's where the woman shines most, is in the home, and that's where Satan wants to keep her out of. By the way, Satan would rather offer her a polished turd from the world. So she would stink in the world than shine in the home. Just it right there. That is true, Andrea. Sometimes I just mess up the flow. And I know I got to get out of here because I'm just messing the flow up here. I know that. No one has to say anything to me. I just know it. I'm convicted about it. It's like, man, I'm messing the flow up. I need to get out of here. They're flowing and doing the things that they do. I need to go do the things that I'm supposed to do. Because she's there to guide the home. You know how many times I'd say to my children, you better ask your mother. Because I don't know if they're trying to trick me or something. That's why. I'm like, you better ask your mother. Why? Well, she guides the home. Right? That's what she does. Now, if I'm there, then yeah, I'll override things. I've had to do that. I had to sit down with my family and deal with an issue on the way home from church the other day. I won't get into it because it's none of anybody's business. Between my wife and the children, and work some things out. As a father. And as a husband, as a leader. And say, okay, well, back up, hold on a second, let's talk this through. Amen. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's when I'm there. Right? When I'm part of that, when I'm in the mix of that. And say, okay, wait a minute. I've had to correct my wife and my children. That's not demeaning, by the way, and it doesn't mean that my wife and I aren't on the same page or anything like that, because we are. It's just sometimes she might be wrong. Sometimes I'm wrong. Or sometimes she hasn't considered something. Especially with dealing with young men. Because I have a young man now. I have a son that's 17 years old. And I've got to be very careful that I don't discourage him. As he grows into manhood and he's not belittled or he doesn't feel like he's being talked down to or anything like that. That's very important to me, by the way. Very important to me. That's why at my son's age, a lot of the correction comes from me now. A lot of the instruction and the direction comes from me now. Why is that? Because I'm a man. And he's going to take it well from a man. By the way, this is some like life. This is some real practical advice here. I hope you're listening. You may be like, man, what's he talking about? Oh, I know. 1,000 people aren't going to want to hear this. But I'll tell you something. It'll help you. It really will. So it does say that it reconnected. It does say it reconnected. It bounced me off for a second. Let's see that if it cut the stream. I'll look and see here. Let's see. Are we back on here or what? Okay. So hopefully it, let me see here. Oh, it cut it off. That's too bad. I don't know why it did that. It cut everybody off though. Anyway, yeah, I don't know what happened. I'm sorry. The OBS just shut down on me. It just cut me right off. So let's just see here. Yeah. Well, we'll finish talking here about it. We almost were done there. There was a little bit more time to go. I don't know what happened exactly with that. So it'll take a while for people to get back on, I'm assuming. Let's see. Boy, that old devil don't like that, does he? I think it looks like sermon audio continued, that it didn't shut off. I don't know. Let's see. Okay. Anyway. I do not know what just happened. But, whatever. Anyway, so, let me get... We'll get back to there. Anyway. So that's Satan's end game, right? That's the goal. That's the goal that Satan has. Destroy the sexes. Destroy the sexes. Unify them into one. Destroy their distinctions, and then have them compete against each other, and then unify them into one. And now, the transgender movement is to completely destroy the place of a woman. That's what they're doing. Completely destroying the place of a woman. Getting rid of it. Because the effectiveness of a woman is very minimal when she's taken out of a place that God has put her. Very minimal. Literally, it's destruction. And Satan knows that. That's why the transgender... But by the way, many women fell for that. Many women fell for that. For that destruction. Because they got into competing with men. And then after they competed with men, they lost that distinction. And now, they want to erase her gender completely. And I'm going to tell you that the only way women can recover, the only way women can recover is Christian women have to stop compromising. Christian men, husbands first, have to stop compromising. They have to return women to their rightful place. And women have to have that submissive spirit to follow. That's what has to happen. If you want to see that change, if you want to see that happen, if you want to see, what do we do about it? Well, we have to defy the world. And Christians have to follow the scriptures. They have to not budge on the identity of woman. They have to not, but by the way, not by just stating the identity. Oh, I know what a woman is. I do too. I know what a woman is too. But here's the thing that has to happen. You have to live it. You have to live it. That's the only way that you're going to really declare that and show that to this world, this transgender world that wants to erase the role of a woman. That's what has to happen. Christians have to return to it. By the way, do you think it's funny? Are interesting that I preached on this 4 years ago. I mean, I preached on it before that, long before. But this very topic of the transgender movement and everything, I preached on it 4 years ago and talked about the role of men and women. Now, there's a complete attack. To make a transgender equal to a woman. That's exactly what's happening. And that's where we're at right now. God laid down his order for his creation. You know, Ruth was in a unique position, right? She's one of the women that had to. Thus, the study suggests that women generally think that guys and gals can just be friends, while men are secretly hoping there's a chance their relationship with their female friends can be something more. It's the difference between how men and women think. That's like, I have friends in Christ, right? I have brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't have any women that I confide in except my wife. My friendship, or I look at the other women as sisters in the faith, right? But I don't have, like, endearing conversations with them. Why? Because men aren't supposed to be friends with women like that. God didn't make us that way. Men don't look at things like women do, right? Remember, this was going around back then in 2017. Mike Pence, he wouldn't dine alone with a woman who's not his wife. Is that sexist? No, that's smart. That's absolutely smart. I don't know if Pence is a real Christian or not, but I will tell you this. That's wise. I had a female pastor, and I say that loosely, asked me if I wanted to go out to coffee with her to discuss some things. I said, no, I don't go out with women. I'm married. Well, that Catholic Pence has more standards than most Baptist men do, I can tell you that. That's for sure. Boy, oh boy. Men may feel more threatened by female bosses. Well, of course they would be. Why wouldn't they be? This is the goal, though, right? To feminize men, to masculinize women, and to destroy any difference between them. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy paths. Yep. So masculinity is stolen from men, it's given to women. Femininity is stolen from women and given to men. And we have the Baphomet teaching. Look what we've accepted in society. Female bosses, female soldiers, female politicians, female athletes, female pastors. Historically, what men have always done has been replaced by women. Now let me ask you a question. Woman, if you've sought after these things, Not by necessity that you have to go get a job somewhere if you don't have a husband to take care of, but if you've sought all these things in this feminist movement, haven't you been part of the reason why transgenders can take over the role of a woman? Didn't you take over the role of a man? Didn't you take over man's role? Weren't you deceived by Satan to attempt to take over man's role? And that's what you did? And now, transgenders are taking over the role of a woman by erasing it. See, this doesn't get me, this won't get me a lot of military people coming to our church. It won't get a lot of female professional workers in the workforce coming to our church. And why is that? Because I live what I believe. I preach these things because I believe these things from the scriptures. See, you're going to marginalize yourself. Yeah, it's too late. I've already done that. But I have 5 daughters to raise and 2 sons to teach what it means to be a man and a woman. And a whole host of children in our church that I have a duty to teach. So I can see where this has led to that. Feminism has led to this. Feminism has led to this. When you leave God's order, all the options stink. I like what this person says here. By playing with the status and gender, the researchers were able to show that status alone isn't enough to make men feel threatened and assert themselves. It's gender plus status that jeopardizes their manhood and causes them to be more pushy with women in the workplace. We don't do women-only Bible studies. Women, I never see anywhere in the scriptures where women have a female church that they teach women. Women teach one-on-one. That's what they do. They teach by their godly example, their life, and they read one-on-one. Or they help women one-on-one. I don't believe in ladies' meetings. I do not believe in those. I do not believe those are a biblical design. Right? I don't see that anywhere in the scriptures. I see women not, the Bible never shows women teaching like that. It doesn't. I know they are. The church I came from, that I was ordained out of, does that. They do big women's meetings. Do I believe in those? No. I think they're garbage. By the way, they had all the men. The church that I went to, they had all the men serving the women. So the women are having this big special day, and all the men are running around like cowboys serving the women. I mean, not like cowboys. I'm using it as an example. I'm not meaning literally, but anyway, I remember I was a part of some of those. Oh, you go around and you serve the women all their food while the women are being pampered and everything else like that. Oh yeah, I did a couple of those. Yep. Not in my church, but in the other church. Mm-hmm. It was called the Ladies Extravaganza. I said, you know what? I'd like to preach on the role of a woman. How come I don't get invited to a ladies' extravaganza meeting? How come I don't get invited to a ladies' meeting? I'll get up there and preach to women. You know, I never, as a pastor, I never got an invite to any of those to preach. Why is that? Because what I would preach, I would not be welcome back. That's why. That would be the last ladies' meeting they'd have. See, it's all feminism. The design of it is all feminism. Oop, that was Jezebel. Sounds like a good reason to stay away from them. Flirting is not consent. Listen, believe, support. See, feminism led to this. Feminism led to the transgenders taking over women. What led to it? That's why it happened. Absolutely why it happened. Mm-hmm. Yep. Kinda had her moment where she wanted to go out and do that, didn't she? That didn't work out very well, did it? What they've done is, why do you think there's so many young boys out there right now, young men, that are like completely unhinged? Why do you think so? Why do you think they're unhinged like that? Because of the roles of men and women, that's why. That's why. And now women are getting it back with this transgender takeover. They're getting it back. But this is the reason why. Women try to be very cooperative and collaborative leadership style. So that basically, male leaders who have the opportunity to be role models for other men and organizations, they should be doing things like making sure they have collaborative leadership style, making sure they take time out when they have a child, and making sure they engage in behaviors that are more, maybe more stereotypical of feminine to show that there's nothing wrong with being more nurturing. What a foolish answer. In other words, become a chick. That's the answer. Right? Competing, not complimenting. That's what happens, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But make no mistake about it, feminism pushed the transgender movement. It was the ultimate attack of Satan. And the only way that you will ever fix it in this society is for Christians to follow the distinctions that are laid out in the Bible and not to budge on them, not to move on them. Raising your boys to be men, raising your girls to be daughters, raising your daughters to be keepers at home, to marry godly men. Raising your sons to take care of their wives, to take care of their children, to teach them to be a man, teach them to be a provider. Has to be done. It's the only way to fix it. It's repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It's getting back to the Bible. Right? All right, if you want to say hi, I'll give